This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. So what if the U.S. completely walled itself off from all of its bordering nations, taking Donald Trump's idea of a wall to an extreme? A new young adult novel imagines what a closed-off, isolationist United States would look like in the year 2090. Author Jackie Castle drew inspiration from current events for her portrayal of America's bleak future. The Seclusion centers on two scientists who discover hidden contraband literature that makes them question what the government has told them about their own history. Jackie Castle is a journalist and freelance writer based in Western North Carolina. Her first novel is called The Seclusion, and she joins us from partner station Blue Ridge Public Radio. Hello, Jackie.
Hello, Frank. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Tell us about the inspiration for The Seclusion. How did that take shape?
Well, believe it or not, I actually started the first draft of The Seclusion back in the spring of 2016 during the primary election campaign. So back when we didn't quite know what our future held yet. And so it's become a little more poignant as time has gone by. And throughout the editing process, we've really kind of worked on weaving in some of the events that happened between then and now. And, you know, it was just kind of a response to some of the things that we were hearing on the campaign trail and what, you know, my imagination's version of what could happen if we went to the extreme of several of these roads.
Take us into your imagination and fill us in a little more on the plot. What happens?
Sure. So it takes place in the year 2090, which is about 70 years in the future. In this world, it's kind of a totalitarian rule. America is governed by a board of directors.
That's not 2090. I'll tell you right now, it'd be 2018. But keep going. Keep going.
What is that? Yes.
That's right. Yes, that's 2018. So, we're governed by boards of directors, but go ahead.
That's right. And so, you know, it's pretty bleak, as most dystopian novels are, but there's also, you know, a shred of hope that kind of follows the main character throughout the novel. You know, most of the citizens in this future are very highly surveilled, and the two main characters have a unique opportunity to go outside of these mass urban centers where most of the citizens live. And during time on one of their work assignments, they happen to come across something that contradicts most of what they've been told about their own history. And so a lot of the novel is kind of the main characters learning about what has happened and what, you know, what happened to get them to this place and to get America to this place, and them uncovering that.
And they do a little bit of rethinking once they realize what the truth as they discover it in this contraband literature, right?
Exactly. And so, you know, it really talks about the importance of the free press is one of the main themes throughout the story. And so what would our world look like if all of our information really only came from one source, and that source was also our government, and they also had, you know, maybe ulterior motives for why we should believe, you know, what they want us to believe. And so I would say that the biggest theme in the story is just that there's always a reason to search for truth and knowledge. And, you know, we follow these characters on this path in what seems like a very dire situation, and we just kind of go along for the ride with them as they start to unfold the true story of what has happened.
Will you read
in
for
this
us?
Future? I would love to. So the one section that I picked out is talking about what happens when, in this future, the law enforcement find contraband in someone's home. And that could be anything from literature that has been banned, you know, even old newspapers. Really, you know, all the laws had changed at this point in time that we call the seclusion, which was, you know, when they kind of reset the country under these new laws. And so we're going to talk about her just watching an incinerator truck drive past her window. As I got older, I saw how it could go if something turned up. An incinerator truck would be brought, a large, glossy, black beast of a vehicle with compliance department written on the side in boxy letters. When this truck drove down the street, everyone turned to see where it was going, wondered who had deceived us this time, which friend or neighbor was a malefactor with unlawful tendencies that we'd failed to notice. We held our collective breath until the truck passed us by. When it reached its destination, other residents of the complex would peek out their windows as the owner was brought close, forced to watch, weapon pointed at the head. The prohibited items would be thrown in the incinerator. The door would close, leaving a 2-foot-wide heat-proof window as the only proof of what was taking place inside. A bright orange would fill the window just for a moment, and then it would fade back to black. About 10 minutes later, a metal-bristled broom scraped out the ashes, which remained on the road long after the owners were taken away, until the rain came, a mark of shame, a warning.
Jackie Castle reading from her new novel, The Seclusion. Her book launch party is this evening at Malaprop's Bookstore and Cafe in Asheville. It also shines a light on what happens to a community or a society with no real point of reference. I mean, right now we have multiple sources still. We know that there's another version of the truth, another narrative out there. And, you know, if we've got any kind of education and critical thinking skills, we'll go look those up. If you're brought in a world where there's really no other source, you don't even think that there might be another source, right? I mean, it talks about not even having a point of reference, in a sense.
Right, and that's kind of the biggest thing as you kind of close in on these characters in the beginning and watching their character arc is kind of the highlight of the story, and that in the beginning they really are just kind of dutifully following what they are told, and they believe it with all their heart that, you know, that outside of these walls is nothing but terror and danger, and that's what they've been told, that they have been secluded to keep them safe and that their leaders are making these decisions to keep them safe and that it's okay to sacrifice their freedom for security because they are safe. And so that really opens up a lot of questions about where certain roads could lead. And yes, you know, when you lose the ability to freely communicate and to research and to think for yourself, then that can get pretty dangerous.
And, of course, that's generations out. You redefine freedom and you tell people they are free. They haven't given up anything. This is what freedom looks like, you being behind these. You know, it's interesting to tell who's in prison and who's not. A close-up look at the prison bars, you're not sure who's in and who's out, right? So it's kind of an interesting that kind of question gets raised throughout this book. And also talk about Patch, your protagonist, who has a moment of insight and is undergoing some change. Tell us more about Patch.
Right. And so in the very beginning, you know, the story actually starts out with her looking at this border wall on the, you know, the southern border between the United States and Mexico. And she's almost in awe of it, almost as someone would look upon the ocean, you know, just feels like it's, you know, this thing that almost like a, you know, someone who's praising a monument. And she just, you know, that's what she believes. It's what she's been told. These citizens are meant to, you know, watch this propagandist programming every single day. It's part of their duty as a citizen. And so everyone is being fed the same exact lines. And so she really does think that, you know, she's doing her part to serve the country, you know, based on her small role that she plays. And then, you know, when she does discover some items that really start her questioning, you know, if what she's been told is the truth. And then she learns a little bit about that her family may have a history of rebellion. And so, you know, it just kind of keeps unfolding until she gets to a point where she can't go backwards. She has to pick, you know, one road or the other. And so we get to watch her really open her eyes and, you know, set about learning, you know, what actually happened. And that's quite the process for her, and it gets a little dangerous, but it's really great to watch.
And I would think quite a process for you. You're a journalist. That's your training and your trade, and now you're writing a novel and creating a character like Patch.
Yes.
What was that like for you and trying to have to imagine this character in 2090?
You know, we went through lots of drafts. And so I'd say that, you know, it was actually really freeing. I'd never written fiction before, and so I kind of just started it actually as a short story, and it just kept expanding and expanding, and then suddenly I decided I was going to turn it into a full-length novel. And, you know, there's something cathartic about being able to kind of take your frustration out on fictional characters and to express, you know, those frustrations through a work of fiction, whereas journalism, obviously, you're always sticking to the facts, hopefully, and your, you know, the research process is different. And this is really, it was really freeing. But then again, there was also a learning process where my style of writing, you know, I had to learn how to express things through dialogue and action and not just, you know, and learn how to show and not tell, you know, for 300 pages straight. And so right. I had a fantastic editor that really challenged me to kind of look at every new scene from an angle and discover, you know, how could we tell this a little differently and how could we make it more exciting and how could we, you know, put these three paragraphs where you're just kind of talking into someone else's voice and to or how could we act this out?
You talked about it being cathartic, taking out your frustrations on your characters, but I've heard writers say that often their characters take out their frustrations on the writer and begin to go in directions that they hadn't expected. Did any of that happen to you?
Oh, definitely. It's really interesting. Patch is the main character, and I'd say that, from the beginning I had her storyline pretty much mapped out. You know, things definitely changed a little bit, but for the most part I knew where her story was going. But there were a few side characters that crept up in the middle of the book that really just kind of took the reins and went off in their own direction and propelled the story that way, and she kind of had to follow. And, that was really fun to play with.
Well, tell us more about that. Give us an example of one of those.
Sure. So we do learn a little bit about Rex, who mm-hmm. is the other main character other than Patch. He is his coworker and really close friend. We learn that his family has some roots that are not from the United States. And so that is really, that does happen early in the book. So I don't feel like that's too much of a spoiler. But that, it kind of starts to unpack a little bit more, that we can't ignore anymore right. about his personal story. There's also a really great character who is probably my favorite character in the book, who they meet outside of, once they finally decide that they need to run, they do meet this other character along the way that has really kind of become a recluse and very eccentric, but kind of taken himself outside of this society in the only way that he can. And so that's he wasn't, even on my radar when I first sat down to write this book. And so that was a fun process.
He found his way into the pages of Jackie
right.
Castle's book, The Seclusion. Jackie, will you read for us again?
I would love to. So this is just a short one. We're going to talk about just not knowing the origins of a common product. My mother hummed in the kitchen. Soon a warm cup of tea was set in front of me. Tea of an unknown origin, ordered through a board-run shopping website, having gone through mysterious channels that enabled it to be sent from its country of origin and end up on my mother's coffee table. Where did tea plants grow? The thought had never occurred to me. I realized that no matter how hard I searched the depths of my brain, no answer would be forthcoming. This wouldn't have bothered me before, but that particular day, after everything, it did. Where in Board's name does tea come from? My mind fixated on the question, and I felt my heart rate rise. Surely someone must know the answer to such a simple question.
There we go. Jackie Castle reading from her new young adult novel, The Seclusion. She's going to be at Malaprop's Bookstore and Cafe in Asheville this evening. Young adult, did you set out to write a young adult book?
I didn't. And then during the editing process, my editor suggested that we make sure that this book, that it was clear that this book was appropriate for both young adults and adults. And so we did put the young adult label on it. I think that it's also a book that a lot of adults would enjoy as well. But I think that right now dystopian literature is a very important genre for young adults. I think that it's really important to play out the consequences of certain actions through a story. And so, once we started talking about that process and just making sure it was accessible to teenagers and up, then it really just felt like the right decision as we started reworking that.
I wonder if I could sort of indulge in a little more philosophical conversation now about, trying to imagine if we stand here in 2018 and we see the way things are going and we try to imagine a world in which information has been restricted and we're drinking the tea, you can sort of imagine that world. But then there's everything in between. There's the way in which people change. There's the way in which we empathize or not.
Right.
Did you take into account that? I mean, I'm trying to imagine if empathy is still a human characteristic, or if epigenetic change is no longer necessary for humans to be empathetic, not in this, right. This America anymore. So it goes away, and we can see epigenetic change. Change happens much more quickly than we thought in the old Darwinian ideas of evolution. Did you think about that the possibility that by then we wouldn't empathize at all? It just wouldn't matter where we came from?
I think that I did think about that. That's actually a large part of the story, is that in the beginning, these characters really aren't that empathetic, that if a label is slapped on someone, if they maybe are convicted of a crime and they have this label of traitor slapped on them versus patriot that's kind of dutifully following their leaders, that, that's kind of everything to these people. And so early in the story, it's revealed that one of Patch's best friends was arrested by the government. And so she has gone away at this point. And so she just, you know, forgets everything she knew about this person and suddenly just views her as nothing but a traitor. And so a lot of the story is Patch relearning how to be empathetic. And a lot of that happens through her meeting other characters and realizing that there are so many layers to different people and nobody's just one thing. And so that was a big part of the story. And also realizing that, you know, obviously that there's more to the story of why you know, people are supposedly breaking the law. And so that was a big part of.
But you talk about this as a relearning. But of course, if you never learned it, then where does it come from? And is this an inherent, essential, you know, human quality that's just going to always be there and perhaps a little dormant? We just have to shake it up a little bit. Or, I mean, do you think? And again, this gets beyond the scope of the novel. But you know, could you actually envision a time where that becomes such a useless, you know, virtue, empathy, that humans don't even have it anymore?
Well, I would hate to see that time. You know, I think that if you look at other animals, they can display empathy. And so I think that maybe it is just a relearning if we've lost it. And I would like to think a lot of the folks now who are around that maybe aren't the most empathetic have the capacity to learn that again. And, you know, I would hate to see a world where empathy is completely gone. And I think we would have a hard time, you know, really solving any kind of societal problems without empathy.
Well, and it probably why you wrote the book, just hoping that this is at least a warning and a wake-up call. And the first in a trilogy. So if I were to ask you, you know, which did you like more, journalism or fiction writing? Apparently you like fiction writing enough to write two more of these, right?
I do. I've started with the second one, and so I'd say about a third of the way done with the first draft with that. I really enjoy fiction and journalism. Right now I'm finding fiction to be kind of where my passion is. I do have two young children, so right now my time is very limited. And so I do kind of need to pick one path or the other, but there may be a day where I'm able to do both.
You've got two on the way.
Again.
Does it inform, does your fiction writing inform your journalism? Your journalism inform your fiction writing, or do you have to put a wall between them, separate those countries?
You know, the past year I've been mostly focusing on the book. So I haven't done too much of working on both of those things at the same time. I also do some content writing. And so that to me is a little bit easier to just kind of, you know, do that work and then put it away for the day and work on fiction. But I think that, you know, I think it's all interrelated. And I think the free press was such a motivation for this story that I'm sure that I drew from my experiences as a journalist as well.
And as you, again, continue to write this series, did you conceive it as a series when you first? Well, obviously, you said it was a short story to begin with, but when did the idea of a trilogy occur to you?
I think when I wrote the end and just realized that it wasn't quite over. I think it was over for this particular book, but you know, I kept thinking about what was next for these characters and that I do want the story to continue. And, you know, I do have a vision for where the third book would end. And I haven't quite figured out how I get from point A to point B yet, but I know where it does end and I know where the second book starts, and we'll see what happens.
Well, so where does it end? Tell us. No, I can't ask you. I can't ask you to do that. Jackie Castle, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it.
Jackie Castle is the author of the new young adult novel, The Seclusion. She's a local journalist and freelance writer based in Western North Carolina. She's going to be at Malaprop's Bookstore and Cafe in Asheville this evening, and you can find out details about the event at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the responsibilities of a godparent range from attending birthdays to acting as a surrogate parent. Our next guest was asked to do some of each of those and also write a book about virtue. Stanley Hauerwas is with us. We'll talk about virtue on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. Please stay tuned.